on 4. I'm just going to read it real quickly because I want to get down to the part at 17. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. By this know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So that means that God came in skin. Okay, God himself came in skin. He was born in a human body. I just want you to know that about God. It was Jesus' spirit who's always been. It was the personality of God. It was God coming inside of skin or inside of flesh so that he could relate to us, so that he could redeem us from the enemy, so that he could get us out of living in flesh and into the spirit. So God had to come in flesh. Okay? That's a really powerful thing. Don't ever take the things of the cross or the gospel lightly as if it's cute little stories. That's a powerful thing. No one else has ever even begun to claim that their God came in flesh and dwelt among us. God came and dwelt among us in flesh. Okay, verse 3, and every spirit which does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not from God. And this is the Antichrist. So when they say that Jesus was a prophet, but that he wasn't God, it's not from God. This is showing you, the true believer has to have the revelation that God himself came in flesh through his son, Jesus Christ. God and the Father are one. So God himself, the part of God that came out of God and came in flesh was called Jesus. Yeshua, Joshua, whatever, all the different names, depending on which interpretation, but we call him Jesus. Okay, and it's the Antichrist, which you heard is coming and now is already in the world, that does not say that Jesus. So let me say that every single person, every single religion, every single talk show host, every single religious teacher host does not recognize that God and Jesus are one and that they came in flesh is of the Antichrist spirit, okay? So don't get all freaked out. Everything that's not the truth is Antichrist spirit. All right. Now, little children, one thing you'll see in 1 John, if you really study it, there's different levels of maturity, and he brings that up in here. Little children, you are of God and have overcome them because he in you is greater than he in the world. Okay, can you grab this, guys? Even if you're a little baby in God, if you're a little child in God, in other words, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you qualify here. You will overcome the enemy. Because God is in you. Why will you overcome the enemy? Will you overcome the enemy because you're so smart? Because you're so determined? Because you read the Bible so much? You will overcome the enemy because God lives inside of you. If God doesn't live inside of you, you cannot overcome the enemy. If God lives inside of you, you will overcome the enemy. It's no question about it. The writer here is not wondering if the power of God in you is going to be great enough. He declares very plainly that if you confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and you get the revelation that God himself came in flesh, and if you got that revelation and you understand that revelation and you understand the power that God himself, through his son, Jesus Christ, dwelt among us in flesh, and he overcame the flesh, then he's in you, so you overcome the flesh. Because the same Jesus who overcame the flesh now lives in you to help you overcome the flesh, not help you, to cause you to overcome the flesh. So everybody say, we are going to overcome every work of the enemy. Because greater is God inside of me than anything the devil has planned for me. Than anything. He didn't say that some of it was too difficult. Okay, we're going to learn tonight to quit trying to do it in your own strength and trust God in you to overcome. All right. They, which is the world, are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Who? The one knowing God hears us. Whoever is not of God does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. We got a teaching on spirit of truth and error back there. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. All right, where does love come from? Where does love come from? All right, don't expect people in your past who didn't have the revelation of Jesus coming in the flesh to be able to love you. Don't beat yourself up because you didn't know who Jesus really was and you didn't love. Now, some people do a better job at being there and loving the best they can. See, even animals have an instinct to take care of their young. We're made in the image of God, so human beings have a desire overall to do good. We're made in the image of God and to take care of their young. But you got to have this revelation that God is love, and so we need God to really love. All right, 7. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God, and everyone who loves has been born again from God and knows God. Do you get that? Everyone who loves has been born again from the Spirit of God, and they know God. You want to know something? Your ability to love is based on your revelation of God. So I want you to forgive everybody who has not been able to love you unconditionally. And I want you to forgive yourself where you didn't love unconditionally, because you didn't understand the revelation of Christ coming in the flesh. You didn't understand the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the American church, it's really a watered-down version, and it's very, overall, soulish and of the flesh, the way we try to preach Christ. I mean, I just was getting the revelation myself in a deep way a year ago about how was Jesus man and God? How did that work? It worked because God himself came in a flesh body, but it was all God in a flesh body. Yay, God. You've got to get that revelation. He loved us so much that he became flesh, and I don't think we'll have time tonight, but if you go study Hebrews, that's what it's all about. Hebrews is all about Jesus becoming a little lower than the angels and coming in a flesh body. See, that's very, very humbling. That God, who lives with no limits, who has this glorified body in heaven, you know, who hangs out with angels and does supernatural things and can be wherever he wants to be, that he chose to limit himself to flesh to set us free, to understand us, to be our high priest. Okay. And we got lots of teaching on these kind of things. All right, now. So, anyone who has love has been born again from God and knows God. That word knows means intimately knows God. It's the same kind of word for a husband and a wife who have found each other and know each other more than anybody else knows them. Unfortunately, with the way things are with marriage today in America, you can't even say too many people know each other. Everybody's so fake and play and all these games and everything, but it's that kind of relationship. It's a relationship that you really know God. In other words, you have a relationship with God. Your ability to love is totally based on your relationship with God. So one thing, get yourself off the hook where you haven't been able to love because you didn't even understand about this relationship with God, and forgive the people who weren't able to love you because they certainly didn't have that kind of deep relationship with God. Okay. The one who does not love has not known God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, because his Son, the only begotten God, has sent into the world that we might live through him. All right. This is so the gospel. The love of God is revealed inside of us, because God the Father's Son, who is the only begotten, Jesus Christ, is the only one ever who is actually begotten by the Father. In other words, the seed of God himself was placed in the womb of Mary. And Jesus Christ, God himself, was born to a virgin and truly was the very nature of God himself inside of skin, inside of flesh. He was the Word, the Bible says in John. He was the Word, and he dwelt among us. He's everything this Bible is. I'm doing a teaching on Thursday mornings that is so powerful, and I don't know what to do for the rest of you who can't be here because there's just, we have so much going on teaching-wise, but hopefully when I go to the Philippines for those 2 weeks, we'll play some of that in the evening sessions. But I'm just go to eSword. Those of you, I told you, download eSword on your computers, and then put the word Word in there. And look at about 500 times where the word Word is used. And by the time you get to the end of doing that, you're going to get a really strong revelation that the reason there's power in the Word is because the Word is really Jesus being manifested. This is his soul, so to speak. This is his thinking. This is who he is and what he's about. And the Holy Spirit makes that more real than anything. And when you speak the very word of God, God himself, Jesus himself, is released to perform it by his Spirit. It's powerful. We've made it more of a flesh thing about our words and our power instead of recognizing this is about relationship with God and releasing him into a situation. It's releasing the power of God into a relation, into every situation because of his word. Your words are powerful. Begin to be serious about what you speak. Begin to study the word of God so you can speak Jesus right into a situation. His word will heal you because he is the healer and he is his word. And when you get that revelation and you speak healing, you're speaking Jesus into the situation. You're speaking the very Son of God into the situation. By this, the love of God was revealed in us because his Son, the only begotten God, has been sent into the world that we might live through him. Now, this is the key. The key is living through Christ. The key is not having a knowledge in your brain of who Jesus is and book knowledge of the Bible. The key is actually Christ living in you. That's love. God will help you love your children when they're totally in rebellion and living a totally life against God. God will give you that kind of love. God will help you love your parents when they're doing things that are painful and hurt you. But God in you will cause you to love. You can't leave the God in you part out of love or there's no love. See, when God gets in you and you get the revelation, it becomes unconditional love. It doesn't matter what the person's doing. The love doesn't change. I'm getting that in a few minutes. All right, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, right? Get this, folks. This is a revelation of how unconditional God's love is. Okay, here's where you see it's unconditional. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to take away our sins. In other words, God sent Jesus, his own Son, the very essence of who God is, to take away our sins, especially if you were born after the cross, before we ever sinned. God made a way of escape from sin before we ever sinned. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now I want you to see, unconditional, God loved you before you ever sinned. God loved you before you got saved. God loved you before you ever were. That's pretty unconditional. God's Son died for us. For our sins, for our mistakes, for our faults, for the bad things we would do, for the lies, for the bondage we'd be in. He died for us before we were born. That's pretty unconditional. He didn't wait to say, Thad, I kind of like you. You'd be somebody worth dying for. Could really use a guy like you in the kingdom. I tell you what, this one's got a lot of gifts and talents we could use. Let's die for him. Then we'll put him to work for us. No, God does not have conditions on his love. Most of us, if not all of us, have been in darkness and not knowing it because everything we thought about love was conditional. if you do this, then I'll, and how do you know, what's condition? You may not say you ever said that, but if your child does something wrong and then you're not talking to them, you just told them, I'll love you if you get good grades. I'll love you if you don't say ugly words. I'll love you if you do this. Your love has been conditional. Conditional love is not love. Conditional love is not love. Conditional love is you trying to get a need met through your relationships. And it's all the way through. It's the platform, or it's the foundation of Satan's kingdom. It's the foundation of Satan's kingdom. His kingdom is based on a counterfeit love that says, if you behave right, if you do this right, if you perform right, if you look right, smell right, think right, if you do everything right, then I will love you. And even though some of us are not that blatant in thinking that's what we're doing, it's revealed through our actions. I remember going through a little bit of rebellion stuff with my son this last year, and God's just worked it out so amazingly because I had to get things out of my heart. And at one point, you know, he was running his mouth off or something, and I looked at him, I said, you know, no matter what you say, no matter how you say it, you will never stop me from loving you. I will love you unconditionally forever. God loves you unconditionally forever. And I absolutely love you, whether you're going to church, whether you're reading the Bible, whether you're, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost and prophesying. I will love you no matter what you're doing, but I will pray for you that you'll find that kind of love from God. And it just began to break a lie that I believe he bought. Just things you pick up, you know, that, well, the other son is the one like his dad, so I must be the one like my mom, therefore I need to be spiritual, to be accepted. And then he thinks he's being spiritual. I'm like, you know, what really set off his rebellion was one day I said, I don't understand why you and your brother aren't, you know, really moving in the things of God. I don't understand it. You've seen it your whole life. You've seen people slayed in the floor in our living room, the Swans man getting prophesied over. You've seen magazine salespeople come up and get saved. You've seen us take things to poor people on Christmas Eve. You've seen me casting out demons. You've heard me speaking in tongues. You know I love God. You've been healed. You've seen miracle healings. I said, I just don't understand. And see, he took that, and I said, you know what? You can't do it because it's about me. It has to be about God. And I never realized how much what he was doing was trying to be my child because he felt like the other son was his dad's child. And it's very subtle. And when I said that, it crushed him because he was trying to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's a lot of effort if he's trying to please me to get my love. And I remember both of the boys at times saying, I did this to Mitchell in a really bad way when he was so sick and he was only 6 years old and I'm giving him scriptures because I'm in a lot of bondage. I'm in spiritual bondage from wrong teaching. I'm in spiritual bondage from my heart not right for some of the things I'm hearing. And I'm like, listen, just say the word, say the word, say the word. And I didn't know until about a year ago when Mitchell said to me, Mom, I can understand and read anything but the Bible. And I was crushed. I'm like, why? Why? And I went to God, I said, God, he said, because I don't think I can get it. I don't think I can make it work.